I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcast.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV Plus.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly on Bloomberg Radio.
So Jason and I have had many discussions about leadership or lack thereof during the pandemic. Our next guest was CEO and chairman of Volvo for nearly a quarter of a century. He's got a new book out, Character is Destiny. Pierre Uhlenhammer reflects on innovation and integrity during his tenure at Volvo. And he joins us on the phone on this Tuesday, on the phone from Toronto. Pierre, nice to have you here with us. A million questions. So
You have to go quickly then.
I know. We do. So tell me what character means to you.
Sorry?
What does character mean to you?
Character means to me, to be independent, to understand what is happening in the world, to be tough when it is necessary, and to be supporting your people whenever.
And so how much has that put this... Has this epidemic put that rather vaunted view to the test? If you are sitting in a boardroom right now, or you're sitting, well, probably not in a corner office, you're sitting in your home office trying to run a company.
Yes. Well, I'm not running a company now.
Right.
But
I have been
with not less than five companies in my career. And the longest one was Volvo, 24 years.
And so as you think about this on behalf of other chief executives, what do you think they're feeling right now? Having gone through, I mean, you managed through crises, but, you know, this is a big one.
Yeah, this is a big one. But I must say that the early 90s were difficult, and the 70s, before you were born probably, were also very difficult. So I've been through two sharp recessions, and now I'm witnessing the present one.
Well, and so tell us, you know, I do agree with you that in certainly on a personal and a professional level, moments of crises have taught me an awful lot. And I do wonder what you have learned. You know, take us back to one of those difficult times, what was going on and what you had to do and what you learned from it.
Well, what I had to do was to be convinced that I should keep the blue-collar workers completely and not have any layoffs, although the recession in the 70s were deep, and also in the early 90s. So, and I thought that the blue-collar workers were really the spine of the company, and if they did well and were productive, we would do well.
Well, you know, this is so fascinating because if you look at what we're going through right now, those, you know, key workers, right, those frontline workers, okay, we get the healthcare workers, how important that's been through the pandemic, but who would have thought, right, folks who work in supermarkets were all of a sudden, you know, those necessary workers that needed to be in place to take care of the rest of society. And I do think about blue-collar workers, workers, you know, at the bottom of or you know, at the lower end of the socioeconomic scale, you know, we haven't always treated them with much respect. And I do wonder if we're going to learn something. I mean, tell us about how important that is. And I do wonder, you know, if you think that there's something on the other side of this virus where we treat workers all along the scale better.
Well, I think that in the United States, which is a country that I've admired and loved, except the last 3 years, the layoffs are plenty, and they are gross, and the people are unemployed, and they are the first to go. The top people never goes. Perhaps one or two of them may be fired if they are not doing a good job as CEOs. But I always have thought that the blue-collar worker is the stamina and the cadre of the company, and I've always protected them.
But, Per, is that capitalism or politics?
Sorry?
Is that capitalism or politics that the blue-collar workers, you know, have been let go?
I think it's neither. I mean, I've never been political in my way of managing a business. I've always been looking at the shareholders and their interests, the employees and their interests, and I think that without good employees, you cannot have good productivity and good quality.
Well, Per, one of the things that has exacerbated this, certainly this divide, is the divide in compensation. And I know that this is something that you've thought a lot about. And when you think about the massive gap, the growing gap between CEO compensation and frontline worker compensation, that is a big contributor here. How did that happen?
I don't know how it happened, but it has happened gradually. And towards the end, the last percent, or less than 1%, are executives, top executives. And they have a median term of, say, 4.5 or 5.5 years. I was with my company almost 24 years, and I never gave up.
What do you mean you never gave up?
I never gave up. I stayed there. And then also I had a council of blue-collar workers and white-collar workers, but majority blue-collar workers, already after my first year at Volvo. Because we were in a recession, and I said, now I will bring the blue-collar workers and the white-collar workers to a council that is not just an advisor, but it is a real body. And they thanked me for that.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcast.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV Plus.
Let's continue our conversation with Per Gyllenhammar. He is the former CEO of Volvo, also the author of the new book, Character is Destiny, Reflections on Innovation and Integrity from Volvo's longest serving CEO. He is on the phone from Toronto. So, Per, I have to ask you, you know, when you think about the car industry specifically and Volvo even more specifically, what did you learn that maybe you think about during this time of upheaval, either about the industry or about sort of how you ran that particular company?
Well, my experience is fairly long, as you understand.
Yeah.
And it's been up and down, up and down. And I was there during two sharp recessions. And I had patience. I kept my blue-collar workers. I kept all our employees. And if they wanted to leave, that was their business, not my business. But I thought that to have a cadre of people who are productive, who understand quality, and where I started a whole new type of factory for my employees. Hmm. And in the best case, it was much longer cycles than the 1.5 to 2 minutes. It was about 20 minutes, and that improved our quality and the safety of our people and the motivation of our blue-collar workers.
Well, so when you see a situation like this, knowing social distancing and manufacturing processes and everything else, do you think we will have to radically rethink how cars are made, or is it just going to be sort of tweaks on the margins?
Well, I don't think it will be tweaks on the margin, but I think that it's a good lesson. And I think that, unfortunately, everybody thinks that we are going back to normal now. And that's wrong, because if you look at the United States, I mean, the top is not over yet of difficulties. And I think that with now about 100,000 unemployed and also gone, it is more or less a disaster. And I think this will be worse. I don't think it's over. I think that in a couple of months, it will be more difficult and less salutes on good times.
Why have we become so bad at taking care of workers, whether it's blue collar and below?
Well, I think that one of my old friends who is gone, Henry Ford too, he came over to visit my most rational and modern factory, and he was delighted. And then when I came over to him, because we made good friends, they laid off people. He said, "Well, you know, I'm sorry, I can't really accept your model. I think it's too difficult. It's too radical." And that was it. Whereas the head of UAW at the time, Leonard Woodcock, who then became ambassador to China, although he was not, didn't have that title, he loved the cycles that we had in our manufacturing.
And so, as you think about the car business and even the car consumer coming out of this, it seems like such an interesting moment. When you think about Tesla, you think about the trials and tribulations that many global automakers have gone through. How do you think this will change the car consumer in many ways and their expectations?
Well, I think that they must be fairly disappointed because there is very little innovation in the car industry. And I think that Tesla has been a disaster, at least financially, and I don't know how they will recover and if they will ever come into a profitable position. So when it comes to shareholders, I think that they've been extremely optimistic if they invest in Tesla, and I think that it's not over yet. I think that they will have much more problems.
But, Per, what do you think of him kind of upending the model? And safe to say that his push in EVs, electric vehicles, has really made kind of all of the old line auto manufacturers kind of step up and take notice and amp up their efforts.
Yes, no, I totally agree. And I think that the technology, it's still batteries, you know, batteries that started engines before in the past. And I don't think they've taken the step that a new type of fuel and contraction is, it's not done yet.
Yeah.
Still early days. Interesting.
Still very early days and old technology that they use as modern technology.
Hey, listen, just got about 40 seconds here. One quick question. I mean, the balance between making a profit but also taking care of your workers. What would be your advice to CEOs out there?
My advice to CEOs is take care of your blue-collar worker. They are the blue-collar workers. They are the most productive core of a company that you can have.
Well, I think what's a really relevant, you know, in this time period is something like Amazon, right? All the workers in the warehouses who've been getting out stuff, but maybe under questionable conditions sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to leave it there. Thank you so much. Per Jillenhammer, he is the former CEO of Volvo, and he used a lot of that experience to write his book, Character is Destiny, Reflections on Innovation and Integrity from Volvo's longest serving CEO, almost a quarter century there at the company. And some real lessons. And I have to say, and he beat this drum pretty loud with us, blue-collar workers, you know. And in some ways, he's talking about a new model when it comes to building cars. But that is, in some ways, in a good way, an old model in terms of how to build cars, which is take care of the people who are actually building it.
Right, right. Common sense, right, and decency. Really great stuff. So really appreciate that conversation.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.